episode 106 of Comic Timing, a comics podcast voted to the average comic book fan from the average comic book fan. Joining us, Brent Cassino, rotating panel of guests, and myself, Ian Leatherstein, discuss whatever comes to mind, time after time, here on Comic Timing. No rotating panel this week, as we're back to the review corner. And we've got three books, and not one independent, because none of them have come out yet. Yeah, none of them have come out yet. They're independents. That's the way it goes. Here now, Comic Timing.
And this episode of Comic Timing is sponsored by discount comic book service DCBS over at dcbservice.com. Please make sure to use the promo code CT8, that's CT and the number 8, when you make your first order with discount comic book service DCBS, and you will get an extra 8% off on that first order. So on top of all the amazing discounts that DCBS has in the first place, you'll get an extra 8% off on your first order. Really, really generous of these guys to give you an extra 8%, and I would certainly take advantage of that if you haven't used DCBS before. And it makes me happy too, because, well, that means that people are listening to the show and they're taking advantage of our coupons, so hooray, hooray, hooray. The review corners for the month are as follows. X-Men, number one, the relaunch of the X-Men title. This is 99 cents, 75% off of regular price here with DCBS. We've got Superman, number 701. This is only $1.79. This is J. Michael Straczynski's first issue on Superman, start of a brand new run here for the Superbooks. This is 40% off at a regular price of $2.99, only $1.79. And we finish it out with True Blood, which is 50% off at DCBS for $1.99, based on the TV show, not necessarily on the book, but hey, it's a comic book, and that's all that matters here. So those are our three review corners, and I hope everybody's having a good time at Summit City Comic Con. Hopefully this is coming out the weekend of Summit City Comic Con. If not, it's happening afterwards, but I hope everybody had a good time at Summit City then, and a great event that DCBS threw over there. And hopefully next year, if we're still with DCBS at the time, hopefully we are, we'll be able to promote it a little bit farther than we did since, well, we just got on now. But anyway, enjoy your discounts at DCBS. Enjoy everything that they throw and everything that they enjoy, plus in-stock trades and stuff like that. But yeah, dcbservice.com for all of your discount comic book service needs. And Comic Timing thanks you for being a part of them. And we thank them for being a part of us. That sounds awesome.
Hey there, folks. My name is Ian Leatherstein, and welcome to episode 107 of Comic Timing. And back from a little bit of a hiatus here. Although, you did get one episode, and maybe you'll get another one by the time this one is out. Unless we'll do the crazy thing and put out 107 before 106, which hopefully will not have to happen. Even though the co-host Brent Cassina is going to edit this episode, and it takes him about 5 minutes to edit an episode. Right, Brent?
Right, Ian. And it takes you slow, lazy fucker.
I'm unemployed.
Unemployed, and you can't put out an episode. Come on.
I got a lot of things on my plate, man. You know, sleeping until 1, applying for jobs, watching Netflix. I mean, how can I possibly edit?
Priorities. Put this before Netflix, and you won't have to put it off once you get it done.
All right, fine. Plus, I got a Blu-ray player, and I'm addicted to it.
Yeah. Tomorrow.
The sun will come out tomorrow. So I
bet. Yeah, well. Do it tomorrow.
So what you been up to, man? Not much?
Not a lot. Working, you know, doing a little bit of traveling, so.
Nice. Where'd you wind up?
I was in Rhode Island for a little bit, and then back to San Diego.
Yet again.
For a few days. Yet again. Yes, yet again.
Although I'm sure the weather was nice.
Yeah, it was. It was very good. Probably be heading out there next month sometime.
Sweet. So is Rhode Island as small as people say?
Actually, I don't even think it's an island.
It's not.
It's not? See, I don't understand that.
It's got a road, but it ain't no island.
It is kind of small.
Well, I mean, I hear the jokes all the time, but I've never actually been to Rhode Island other than passing through it. So, although it didn't take too long to pass through it, so I guess it is small.
Yeah. It's pretty small.
All right. Okay. Well, let's do the episode before he falls asleep. We got review corners here. We got Sif number one out of Marvel, the one shot. We got Last Stand of New Krypton number one of three, part of the what a shock, the Last Stand of New Krypton, and Brightest Day number zero, beginning a new era in DC Comics. So two DCs, one Marvel, and you pick first, Mr. DC.
Let's do Sif.
Cool.
Mr. DC, let's do Marvel.
Okay, fine. Well,
okay.
Sift number one, one shot, all part of the Women of Marvel month out of Marvel, and there were a couple of decent things that came out of that. I heard that Girls Inc. wasn't nearly as good as some people were expecting it to be, but I guess that's up to the beholder. I didn't actually order it myself. Did you order that?
No.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, because you don't like women?
I like my woman.
Oh. Oh, okay. And she doesn't do comic books, last I checked, so you don't have to worry about that. But, yeah, the writer of this is Kelly Sue DeConnick, and the penciler is Mr. Ryan Stegman, newly minted Marvel-exclusive Ryan Stegman, I might add. So congratulations to Mr. Stegman. And inks by Tom Palmer with Victor Olasaba and Juan Doe as colorist, which sounds a lot like John Doe. So I'm not entirely certain that Juan Doe is a real person, but we shall see. Sif number one was a one-shot, nice one-and-done story about Sif helping out Beta Ray Bill when he was in a bind as sentient ship that his race lives on gets attacked by these aliens, these invaders, and needs the help of an Asgardian to get it back. And Thor's unavailable, so Sif fills in, and we go from there. And I mean, the art's pretty well written as well, but you know, it's just it's one and done. You know, you don't really need to invest too much into it. And the ship is called Scuttlebutt, so I laugh at that. So I don't know. What'd you think?
Eh. It was okay. The cover's really nice.
Yeah, it is.
But the inside, I mean, what I thought was funny is that they had this comic to do with Sif, and she really hasn't been explored that much in the Thor book since she came back. So it was kind of like I really have no investment in the character, so I just kind of read through it really quickly and then tossed it aside and went, okay.
Yeah.
It was nothing really memorable for me.
It was a pretty quick read, though. I will agree with that. I mean, like I read it. I mean, yeah, I'll admit it. I read it like an hour ago as I was watching American Idol, and I mean, like, I was done with it like by halfway through the Idol, so that says something. But I don't know. I'm a fan of the art, though. I mean, I like Stegman's stuff in general. He had a little bit of a Todd Knock thing going with the faces in this one, which
I thought so too.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, I'm a Knock fan, so I mean, that's why I'm not going to knock it. But I mean, did you think it was at least serviceable art?
Yeah, I like the art. Oh. It was just, you know, nothing to invest in the story for me. So, you know, overall, I wouldn't give it that high of a rating, I guess, because it didn't blow me away. Like, that Batman in Barcelona one we read was outstanding.
Yeah.
And this didn't measure up to that.
Well, at least this is certainly better than the Daredevil Captain America.
Yes, better than that, certainly.
Doesn't exactly take much to be better than that, since we just panned the hell out of that one. Yeah, no, I mean, overall, nice and pretty, you know, I mean, I'm really not much story to it because Beta Ray Bill gets her to help out with Scuttlebutt. She goes on to Scuttlebutt. She's unaffected by the diseased people that are on it. Then she's affected. Then she fights it. Then she gets Scuttlebutt back. End of story.
You know? Yeah, all in 22 pages.
Right. Yeah, and that's kind of weird out of Marvel.
We paid $3.99 for this? Oh,
yeah,
goodness.
I know. We paid $3.99 for a 22-page one-shot. What is wrong with us?
You picked it. That's all I got to say.
Ho-ho. Ho-ho. So, yeah, again, you can blame this on me, right?
Yes, I can.
I don't know. I mean, it was a nice throwaway comic, and it was something that I didn't really need to invest too much into. So while I'm watching bad people sing, it's good times.
That's true.
So, I don't know. I'll give it a 3 out of 5, I guess.
Yeah, I'll give it a 3. Since it's a one-shot, I'll give it a 3. You know, normally my rule is I only give it a 3 if I'm getting it the next issue, but it's a one-shot.
And remember, there ain't no next issue for a one-shot.
That's right.
Yeah, so you don't have to invest anything in it whatsoever.
It's going to be a short episode.
I know. Well, and was this the first thing Kelly Sue DeConnick has done for Marvel? Because that's a pretty good name.
First I've heard of her. Yeah. She might be in one of those Heroes comics or... Girl comics.
Okay. All right, cool. Yeah. All right, so, you know, passable, and we can pass it on. I'll let you explain the next one, because we'll do the two that probably take the least amount of time to do, and then we'll talk about Brightest Day for the next 4 hours. So, Last Stand of New Krypton, number one.
Which is already wrapped up.
Yes, it has.
We're already in the War of the Superman. See, it's kind of weird, because here's what's going on, people. Here's our list for the past 2 months. Mm-hmm. Brightest Day number 0, New Avengers finale, yep. And Haunt number 7.
Yep.
This is for the month of May. Obviously, we got Brightest Day number 0.
Yeah.
New Avengers finale actually came out in...
New Avengers finale comes out tomorrow, actually.
Comes out, yes, tomorrow. So, yeah. No, these are the April books. Yes, excuse me.
Yes.
For the April. So, New Avengers got pushed back. Haunt number 7, I haven't seen. Mm-hmm. And then in March, we pick Sif number 1, mm-hmm. Superman Last Stand, A New Krypton, and then Free Comic Book Day, Tick number 1, which I'm kind of confused why we picked that in for that month, but whatever.
Well, because we knew that it was going to be a Free Comic Book Day issue, and, you know, I had a feeling... Yeah, it was free, and I had a feeling that at least one of the May books was going to be late, and chances are Haunt probably will be.
Yeah.
So we'll read Free Comic Book Day Tick and talk about that instead of Haunt.
Well, we'll still talk about Haunt when it comes out.
Right. You know, next year.
Next year.
but yeah, no, we're... For once, we're actually pretty much caught up on our picks due to lateness or books not coming out yet.
Yes, which is awesome.
Yes, it actually kind of is. But but yeah, speaking of Last Stand of New Krypton, which technically is already over.
Well, where are you on the whole New Krypton thing so far?
I picked up issue 3. I don't know if I actually have issue 2, oddly enough. But I've been pretty close to caught up. I mm-hmm. just finished reading the Supergirl that came out directly before War of New Krypton. I know what happens in War of New Krypton. I picked
with it
up.
Brainiac on the cover?
Yeah, with Brainiac on the cover. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. That was a good issue.
Yeah, that was really good. And I picked up Action Comics. I know that has very little to do with Last Stand, but that was the last issue with Flamebird and Nightwing. So that right. their story's getting wrapped up and reading Superman and stuff. So yeah, I'm maybe a month behind thereabouts. So
okay.
I still have to read 2 and 3. But yes, I do know what happened in War of New Krypton because Raph spoiled it for me.
Bastard.
I asked him to because he's like, dude, have you read War of New Krypton? Have you,
you mean War of the Superman?
War of the Superman. And I'm like,
No, I have. I've read 0, but I haven't read number 1 yet.
Okay.
That comes. My box should be coming Saturday. So
gotcha. Yeah. I actually kind of forgot to order War of the Supermen, so I wound up getting it at Jim Hanley's Universe here in the city. Yeah. So they're doing a 25% off for all of May because it's their 25th anniversary.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So
my comic shop, Coliseum and Comics, actually did something cool since they had that War of the Supermen number 0.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't count that because you were able to get 3 books for new comic for Free Comic Book Day.
Uh-huh.
They did not count the Superman book as one of those 3.
Oh, cool.
So they wanted everybody to take one and not have it count against you. And then when you got that and you checked out, they gave you a coupon to come in back in the following Wednesday and get War of New Krypton number 1 for totally free.
Oh, that's nice.
So I was like, wow, that's really neat. That's a really neat marketing strategy.
Yeah, nice way to get you back in the store the next week.
Exactly. Unlike when you saw Iron Man, they gave you the shitty comic that had nothing to do with what was going on.
What do you mean shitty comic? You didn't enjoy it?
I didn't even read it, honestly.
I
went to the comic book shop table and picked up whatever they had Civil War and Jonah Hex and something else that I picked up that was their the $1 issues they were giving away, a shitload of those.
Okay, cool. Yeah,
I picked up those and read those rather than this thing.
I picked it up. I enjoyed it. Yeah, it was a throwaway one shot, but it was pretty good. I mean, it had good Romita Jr. art. No,
not that. The Thor one?
Yeah.
No, I'm not talking about. I'm talking about when you went to see the movie.
Oh.
Iron Man 2.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no. They didn't have any comic books whatsoever when I went to see Iron Man 2.
Oh, that we got a little free booklet.
Really? That was,
yeah.
Huh. Okay.
But, you know, yet again, cool. It had a comic book in it, but no ads or anything linking it to – it basically linked to like one of the toy lines.
Okay.
Rather than linking it to, you know, Invincible Iron Man number 25 or whatnot.
So technically you did get what we've been wanting to see in theaters this entire time. You did technically get a comic book with your movie, just not anything that was actually important.
Yes. With my movie ticket, I got a comic. And then the Bleeding Cool site,
mm-hmm.
you know how they have a comic shop?
Yeah.
That's in Orlando. That's the comic shop that's always at at my movie theater when comic book movies come out. Mm-hmm. Usually they're giving away free comic books, like, you know, one of those $1 issues or whatever. I guess they stockpile them.
Right.
Like the What's Next for DC and whatever, you know, Marvel's Greatest Comics. Mm-hmm. They're giving away Civil War. I saw some kid with Invincible Iron Man number one, which I thought was a good thing.
Yeah.
Jonah Hex and New Avengers number one.
That's not bad.
So they had big stacks of those and were handing those out.
Cool.
So.
Yeah. The last time that I saw that, actually, there's a comic shop in Brooklyn that I used to go to called Bulletproof that I think I mentioned on this show a couple times.
Yeah, you have.
And they used to set up at the Sheepshead Bay Theater here in Brooklyn and would sell T-shirts and trades and stuff like that. But they were selling stuff. They weren't actually giving anything away.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would be a lot cooler if they did actually have like some of the free comic book day stuff and were just giving that away or some back stock that they didn't want anymore. But, you know, didn't get that. However, as we'll discuss a little bit more on the episode where we actually talk about Iron Man 2, I saw it at midnight on Thursday, opening day at the Ziegfeld, which was a lot of fun because that theater is effing huge.
Cool.
That's the theater that they did all the Star Wars line stuff for. So, you know, back in the day when they were actually lining up, you know, days in advance for Star Wars.
Oh, okay.
That was the theater that they did it for.
But, gotcha.
Yep. So, last...
But I really wanted to know
what's up?
Where you're at with Superman, the new Krypton stuff, if you were liking it, not where you were caught up.
Okay, all right. Well,
Have you been digging it? I mean, where are you at with it?
You know, it depends on the issue, really.
Mm-hmm.
Because some of the Mon-El stuff I've really been liking.
Mm-hmm.
Some of it's been sort of meh, and the whole backup, I like it as a story, but it doesn't really have to be there.
What, Captain Atom?
Hey, Captain Atom, yeah.
Right, yeah.
It's got really pretty art, but the rest
of it... Oh, the art is gorgeous.
Yeah, it's just, it's another one of those stories that feels like it's a throwaway with the backups. Like, it's not like how I feel with, felt at this point, with the Booster Gold having a Blue Beetle backup. I felt that that was actually sort of a full story that felt somewhat relevant to the... You know, story going on.
Mm-hmm.
With this one, even if they are technically tying it into the story, it's like ancillary stuff that you can easily skip.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. The Action Comics stuff, I've been digging, but it's also not even close to the top of my stack.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like if I read it 3 weeks after it comes out, I don't care.
Yeah, for me, the Action Comic, I was digging the first 3 months of this storyline. Mm-hmm. Once they had the new status quo, not the, you know, they had that first cycle where they had, you know, when it first came out and they had the special whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
That was like 7 parts.
Right.
And then that ended and then it went back to, and that's where Superman left. And they started World New Krypton basically.
Right.
So when they started World New Krypton, I dug the 3 months of that, the first 3 or 4 months of that, in Action Comics and all that. Superman is digging that. And then I think it almost hit a slow bump for me once the assassination plotline, whatever, World Against Superman was the banner, I think.
Yeah.
You know, once that assassination plotline came around, I think that's when it kind of slowed down for me. And so far, everything else has been okay. I thought World of New Krypton was the strongest, followed by Supergirl.
Oh, definitely.
But Action Comics for me... Once they started really delving into the Nightwing and Flamebird stuff and going away from whatever else was going on, I just kind of – that slowly sank to the bottom, you know, because it wasn't relevant anymore.
Right.
The overall story was not relevant.
I had a feeling that was going to happen, though, because Greg Rucka likes to be alone.
Yeah.
You know, think of his Batwoman. You know, his Batwoman has absolutely nothing to do with what's going on in the Batman universe right now.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I mean, it could have been written 5 years ago. It doesn't even matter.
It might have been.
It very well might have been because of how long Batwoman has been delayed. I've been liking Supergirl a lot. I will say that. And not just for the art either, because the writer on Supergirl, Sterling Gates, is just, you know, month after month, I'm just happy with it, you know. It's just issue 50 was really good too.
Yeah, issue 50 was great.
Mhm. And that had multiple art teams on it and multiple stories, and it still felt relevant. But what I like about Supergirl that a lot of the other books aren't doing is that it's connected while still telling its own story. You know, while Action Comics is just telling its own story.
Right.
Superman is a little bit more connected, but it's still basically telling its own story. World of New Krypton was good, but the art sort of got jinky there for a while. I saw what you were talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, I mean, you were telling me, you know, for a while there that Pete Wood's art was suffering, and I really started seeing it there after a while.
Well, they started switching to the other guy, too. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of, once they had to bring in someone else to help them finish it, that's where it kind of fell apart.
Right. Yeah. Because, I mean, that's never happened with Pete Woods before, from what I know.
No.
He's never really had these issues. So, I mean, as usual, it could very well be, you know, either like personal issues or health issues or something that was pushing him back. But it's not like we'll ever know. But isn't Pete Woods now going to be the ongoing artist of one of the books? Was it Action?
Oh, Christ, I can't remember. Yeah, I want to say it's Action.
Okay. Yeah. Which, you know, might be nice, but very well might not be if he's late again, but we'll see.
Yeah, it's Action because Eddie Barrows is with JMS.
There you go. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And what do you think about the Action change? Because I know we were going to have Guggenheim and it's going to be Paul Cornell instead.
We'll see. The only thing I've read by Paul Cornell is that one MI-13 issue you made me read, Captain Britain.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I really like Guggenheim stuff though. Mm-hmm. His Flash stuff when he wrapped up Bart's run as the Flash. I dug that. I mean, we've talked about that.
Right.
And his Wolverine stuff I thought was great. His Spider-Man stuff has been strong. Mm-hmm. You know, I really like him as a writer, and I was excited to see him on a DC title. Right. And then it just kind of went, you know, whatever. It is what it is. So we'll see. I'll pick it up. But if it's definitely something that, like, you know, the first two or three issues I'm not really following or doesn't link up to anything else, I think I'll probably be the first thing to cut.
Eh, makes sense. Yeah. I mean, I...
Because I'm not really digging a Lex Luthor story. I want to dig a Superman story. But if it's really good, you know, absolutely I'll check it out.
Oh, sure, yeah.
But I'm getting the first two issues of that. I've already ordered those, so...
Nice. Yeah, well, Paul Cornell writes really good villains.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm hoping that this is actually something that I want to continue reading, but like you... I have absolutely no problem dropping a book if it's not really appealing to me or, you know, in with any of the other books that I'm reading.
Yeah, I'm thinking of dropping the whole JSA line, All-Stars and the regular. So this is just not doing anything for me at all.
I tweeted this a few days ago, but I really liked the JSA Future storyline better when it was called Days of Future Past.
Yeah. Okay.
No, dude, my main problem with it is that I'm not even joking. I'm currently reading Days of Future Past as I'm
reading. Oh, are you?
Yes. As I'm reading that and as I'm getting to new chapters, story points are matching up completely.
I like that story better than the Morju one they did. That was crappy, but
No, that one was just sort of like what is going
on? I'm digging the future Nazi storyline. I'm digging it.
Yeah, really?
Yeah. I'm digging it.
Did you read
it? I like seeing future Superman and future Batman and, you know, somebody utterly died in the last issue, too. Yeah, that was ridiculous. I was like, no. But no, I'm digging it. I have not read Days of Future Past. No, I've seen the cartoon. I saw it on the X-Men cartoon. That's about it.
Yeah, so did I. And when they used Bishop instead of Kitty Pryde.
Yeah.
Yeah. But no, trust me, when you actually read Days of Future Past, you're going to be like, oh, I see what they did there.
Yeah. Let's talk about this issue. Okay, so basically Superman has been living on Krypton for the last year.
Mm-hmm.
12 months. And at the end of the 12th issue, Brainiac's ship appeared above New Krypton, and it's basically Brainiac attacking New Krypton part 2.
Yeah.
Because they dealt with him in the Brainiac arc in Action Comics. As well as the first time, so it's kind of the return of Brainiac. I like how they linked that. You know, Kandor came from the Brainiac ship at the end of that arc,
mm-hmm.
and then at the end of this, you know, story cycle, they're linking Brainiac back. You know, he didn't just go away. You know, there have been things up with him, and now he's kind of come back to kind of finish it off. So,
right.
I was digging that.
Yeah, no, it's cool that they. that they kept him away for a while too.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I think it's a lot more powerful to have a villain, you know, not really be in the forefront for a while, and then all of a sudden, oh crap, he's back. What do we do now?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and Superman is back being Superman by the middle of this issue.
Yeah.
No longer part of the army, which is the part I liked most about World of New Krypton, that relationship between him and Zod there.
And yeah, I'm going to say it. I like that costume better than his regular costume. Suck it.
I like it too.
Yeah.
It's just cool.
Yeah, it didn't have any colors that burned my eyes on it.
No capes.
No. And capes are so impractical, okay? He has to watch out for any, you know, plane propellers. When he's
they showed that in Kick-Ass. He was wearing the cape around. He's like, nah, fuck this.
Yeah, or Incredibles.
Yeah, Incredibles.
So yeah, I like my Superman capeless. Eat it, Raph.
Superman Returns sucked. Okay.
This has been a Sean Pryor production. Okay.
Yes. Just a recap. Mm-hmm. So basically all I need to know is New Krypton exists, Brainiac's here, he's going to kill them all.
Wow, that you just explained 2 years of Superman continuity in about 5
Yeah,
minutes.
Wow. Isn't that awesome?
Fantastic.
So, but what Brainiac didn't plan for is that Krypton is now – New Krypton. I hate saying that. New Krypton. New
oh,
Krypton.
It's the same damn thing.
Right. It now circling a yellow sun. Everybody is Superman, so he's having a little bit more trouble than he did the last time.
Mm-hmm.
But he's still pretty formidable. So, you know, Superman argues with Zod, blah, blah, blah. We need to work together, have a battle plan. And Zod's like, fuck you. Superman's like, fuck this. Oh, this is a job for Superman. Takes off his military uniform. And apparently he's been wearing his super suit underneath his military uniform, cape and all, this whole time.
Yeah, does he shower at all? Or has he just been keeping that on as his skin?
You got me, man. You got me.
Oh dear! Oh dear! Oh dear! My favorite part is that he somehow fit his cape underneath this outfit too.
Yeah, that's what I said. Ridiculous.
I know. Did anybody notice? Like, sir, your uniform appears to have a bunch in the back. He's like, nah, don't worry about it. It's all part of the underwear. Don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. And then also the Legion of Superheroes is here.
Mm-hmm.
We finally figured out why. What's his face? Starman and company and these other Legion heroes have been hiding here for, you know, past couple of years.
Yeah.
They're here because of this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're here to save we'll find out in later issues. They are here to save the bottled cities off of Brainiac's ship.
Yeah.
Superboy's back fighting with them.
Yeah.
Okay. What were we saying?
Well, no, I was just going to say, it's nice to see the Legion arc finally being wrapped up, you know, because that's been hanging there for at least 3 years now. Because
that means if you don't like what's going on next, you can put it down and not have to worry about, oh, they're going to wrap this up sometime soon.
Right.
You know, because I've been interested in it so far, and now that they're wrapping it up, it's good. So basically, once Superman takes his clothes off and has his underwear back on, he flies into Brainiac's ship, figures out a way to get into there, and fights Brainiac, only to be shocked by a kryptonite beam by none other than Lex Luthor.
Ba-ba-bum.
Ba-bum. They're working together, which we saw in Adventure Comics.
Yeah.
Which makes me wonder if this is linked.
Yes, I do believe it is linked.
Interesting.
Yeah. Well, also considering that...
The Legion backups were there, but, I mean, the Superboy story, I thought that was pretty standalone, but...
Well, you know, standalone to a point, but if you remember, at once upon a time, Geoff Johns was one of the co-workers of this story, so...
Just for that first initial kickoff,
right. So I think he was, at least with the Lex Luthor part of it, was actually working with them at one point or another to get this going. And after Geoff Johns left Adventure Comics, it was nice to see the in later issues, the whole Legion and Superboy story taking place in that.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, Adventure Comics became a three-story Superman book.
Yeah, and I was digging how they're kind of using that to bridge the gap, tell some extra stories.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was digging it.
It was basically the front line of this particular event.
Yeah.
You know. But I enjoyed this issue a lot. And actually, looking at the art of this issue, I'm wondering if maybe the reason Pete Wood's art was a little jinky in those past couple of issues was because he was working on this.
Probably.
Yeah, because I have a feeling that, well, I mean, we know that's for certain because they mentioned it a couple times, that this originally was not going to be needed. This last stand of New Krypton, originally, the whole New Krypton story was supposed to wrap up in issue 12.
Right.
And then they would just go into the war from there, but they needed extra issues, so they made this miniseries with basically the same creative team to bridge that gap a little farther. So maybe they needed Pete Woods to get off of that and, you know, start doing this. That makes a little bit more sense.
Well, this issue certainly looks awesome.
Yes, it does.
I mean, sometimes people don't like Pete Woods. I think if you look, he's kind of been changing his style up, you know, because you'll look at his Batman stuff that he did in the War Games and stuff like that.
Yeah.
The War Crimes, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. He did some issues in there, and that's different. That's more. That looks more like this. And then you go to the Superman 1 year later storyline, and it's like, man doesn't use a ruler. He's using one of those pens from the 90s where it like spins around on the top, you know, the mixed squiggle pen.
Yeah.
Because there were no straight lines in anything.
Yeah.
No, they really weren't. But, I mean, I liked that about it because it was made it unique, and there was imperfections everywhere, and it kind of felt a little more detailed when he had like crooked lines and stuff. But now, with World New Krypton, he started out that way, but the faces every now and then would be different. Mm-hmm. I think as he did World New Krypton, he finally settled into what he's doing now.
Right.
And with this issue and the next two, God bless him.
Well,
he's always been a favorite. I've always liked his art. But when World New Krypton started falling apart there at the end, I guess when he got, you know, switched on to this kind of thing, but he still wanted to finish with some of that. You could see I started to, you know, what's going on with this guy, but you know, his style now is definitely strong. So
yeah, well, I do see a couple of instances of what I will call Gary Frank face in this issue.
Where
there was, you know what, the first scene where you see the Legion and Superboy and Supergirl,
the 2-page spread.
Yeah, the 2-page spread. There is a little bit of Gary Frank face going on in that, but other than that, I will agree with you that that this is more of the Pete Woods that I've seen on previous books, but less so of his Superman stuff. I will give you that. I think this is also, you know, going back to the straight style, I think it might actually make it quicker to do it this way, you know, as opposed to being more experimental. If you could just put images on a page, then you're putting your book out monthly, okay.
Well, he also inks his own stuff, and he's been doing that for a while.
Right, right.
So.
And he did that on this, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's listed as artist.
Yeah, I see. Okay, yeah. And somebody named Blonde was the colorist.
Mm-hmm.
You know, way too many colorists have one name. I'm noticing that. I mean, it could very well be a studio or something. But when I see something like Blonde, I'm like, what, are you trying to be Madonna? What?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
So, what did you think of this issue?
I enjoyed it. I think it was a nice. I mean, you know, it was a nice continuation of the story that was being told in New Krypton before this, and bringing all the other storylines together except for Action Comics, because as we said, that's off in its own universe and not really having anything to do with the story at this point. Which might, I mean, does kind of signify to me that Greg Rucka was getting ready to leave DC, you know, just finishing up his stories and not really caring too much about what else is going on in the universe. But
right.
That's just my assumption. But yeah, Superboy's in it, you know, Legion's in it, Supergirl's in it, Superman's in it, Mon-El's in it, the whole family's there, and we're all getting this climax here, the beginning of the climax, and I think it did a really good job of that. It's just, it did make me realize that about 6 issues of New Krypton didn't have to be there.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
it was a nice like kickstart to the finale of this thing.
Oh, yeah.
And I think when I finished reading this, I was like, finally, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, because, I mean, what did that Adam Strange story really have to do with anything?
Yeah, nothing. That came out of nowhere. And that's when I really was like, okay, come on. What's going on here?
But, yeah, this is more like it. I'm actually going to go as far to give it a 4 out of 5. I think this was probably one of the most enjoyable Superman comics that I've read in a couple of months, at least.
Yeah.
Quite some time. So I haven't read 2 or 3 yet. Again, I might have 2. I might not. I don't know. But I definitely have 3, so if anything, I'll just fill in the gaps. But here's my question, okay? This is 31 in the, you know, Superman symbol that's on the front.
Right.
And then the next issue was Supergirl, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which was 33. So what was 32?
Hold on. I actually have all my Superman issues grouped together. Maybe bring my laptop over. It's great having a new laptop. I can do this kind of shit.
Sweet.
But, actually, are you sure Supergirl is number 32?
I'm pretty sure Supergirl was 33, and that's why I was wondering where the hell 32 was.
24. 50 was 28. 33, yes, yeah, Supergirl.
Yeah, so what was 32?
Okay. It might have been Action Comics.
Yeah.
34, 7, yeah, 32 was an Action Comics issue with Rao and shit.
Oh, okay.
So, that's where that skip comes in.
Yeah, no wonder I haven't read it yet.
But yeah, it's, actually, it's not, you know, it's not the 32 issues since New Krypton, because they started the numbering again when they did the, whatchamacallit, the assassination plot line, codename right. Patriot, that's what it was called, yeah.
Yeah.
They went from the green shield to the red one.
Right.
So.
So what do you think?
He's helped a lot reading these shields. God bless him for putting that on there.
It was pretty smart. Yeah. Well, this is about as smart as I don't know.
Well, especially when you're getting them like, you know, like we are, you know, 2 in a month, 3 in a month.
Right.
All at one time. Well, you know, or even if you want to pick them up off the rack at the same time, got some back issues, you know.
Well, that's the same way I felt about Marvel with the Siege books, how each month was colored different on the cover.
Right. I wish they would do something with the Hulk, because they have that cover gallery in the bottom of the Hulk books. I don't know if you've picked any up recently.
I haven't, no.
But those don't help. Like, there's no clear storyline distinction between one to the other, between the books. I mean, not for like in within the month. Now, month to month, there is, but within the month,
yeah.
I couldn't tell you which book you need to read before the others.
Yeah, well, I got lobed out a few years ago, so I've been doing my best to avoid the Hulk books.
Yeah, but yeah, I agree with you. I'll give it that one a 4.
Awesome. All right, and we go from one major DC event to another with Brightest Day number 0. You know, yet another book that for some reason needed its first issue to be called Zero for some reason. But okay, whatever. It's Jeff Johns, Peter Tomasi, and Fernando Pasadin. I love saying that name. And this is coming directly out of Blackest Night.
Blackest
number,
Night.
Yeah, Blackest Night number 8. And all the survivors and what's going on with them and Alive Man and his adventures. Yeah, I'm sticking with it. It's Alive Man. Deal with it.
Alive Man. Alive Man.
Well, and, you know, I thought I had saw a white ring still on his hand in Blackest Night number 8. I was very happy I was right.
Not in the spread, but when the close-up it is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I was, again, I was hoping that that's what they were going to do with him. Because, you know, if you make Dead Man alive, wouldn't it make sense to be the Avatar of Life? Which in a way, or at least working with the Avatar of Life, and that's what he's doing right now, being a
white man. He needs a new costume.
I don't know. I like the D being on there anyway, because the D stands for Damn, I'm Alive.
Damn it, I'm alive. I liked it better being dead.
Well, and that's how the issue starts out. You know, he's lamenting on being dead because, you know, when you're dead, you don't have to worry about things like being hungry and sleep and, friendship. You know, because yeah, he remembers when he was alive the last time, he was a dick. So now he's alive again. And he's got to worry about the fact that he was a dick. You know, he doesn't have anybody to go back to.
What a dick.
Yeah, that's what the D stands for, dick. Well, the issue's called Carpe Diem, and, you know, starts out with a live man, you know, wah, 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 I'm alive, what to do now? And there's a dead bird by his grave that he winds up putting in his hand and then bringing back to life.
Live.
Yes. And the deity or the
chirp, chirp,
help me, is what the white light screams. And then from there, he goes on his wacky, wild, and crazy adventure here. A live man's bogus journey or something like that. Yeah.
Where they can't see him.
It kind of felt like a little bit like Scrooge.
Yeah.
You know, like, this is what happens. This is what would happen if you were alive. But this ain't no dream. This is really happening. And
it is a dream if you're waking up next to Mara in this issue. Oh, goodness.
Oh, my God, man. Fernando Passerin, you know how to draw a woman.
Yes, 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 you do.
And those pecs on Aquaman, I must say. And, Aquaman wakes up next to Mira, and, you know, he had his first night back, and he's sort of afraid to go back in the water, because I would be afraid, too, if every time you look in the water, you see your dead blackest night self.
Yes.
That's a problem. He might have to have that checked out by a doctor or something.
What's wrong with my reflection, Mirror Master? Tell me.
Yeah, and you know, then we see a quick glimpse of Reverse Flash in his holding cell, which then leads me to wonder which one that is.
Okay, I listened to Raging Bullets on that C2E2 episode they put out with from the con floor. Jim actually explained it because he was at the panel.
Okay.
Okay, so Jeff Johns, this is out of Jim's mouth, out of Jeff Johns' mouth, at the C2E2 panel. Okay. Reverse Flash was dead.
Okay.
Correct?
Yes.
All right. We're going by Reverse Flash's timeline, not the DC timeline.
Yes.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So keep this in mind.
All right.
He was dead, right?
Yeah.
Killed by Barry decades ago in the 80s or whatever.
Yeah.
Okay.
Snap neck.
Then he became a Black Lantern.
Okay.
All right. What's this in the Blackest Night Flash issues?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
At the end of Blackest Night number 8, he was resurrected.
Okay.
That's why you see him briefly in the here. Mm-hmm. From there, Jeff Johns says he went back in time. He went home back in time and then started fucking with Barry Allen in the Flash Rebirth series, which took place before Blackest Night.
Okay, so wait.
So it's time travel.
So wait, back in time or forward in time? Because did he go home to his home?
Oh, I don't know. It all you need to know is that he was resurrected. You know how he was talking in Rebirth about, I have erection, resurrection coming soon.
I have an erection,
you know?
Coming. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yes, right.
Yeah, yeah.
He was talking about Blackest Night. Uh-huh. There is only one Reverse Flash. There's not two.
Okay.
So he got resurrected, went back in time to the events of Flash Rebirth and did all that stuff there. Mm-hmm. Then at the end of Flash Rebirth, they trapped him with the negative speed force in that amplifier thing
and
put him in jail, which is where he is right now.
Okay. Still confusing, but I think I understand.
Still confusing, but there is not two out there, which is what I was thinking.
Well, that's delightful.
Yes.
I guess that makes sense. And Jeff
so
Johns,
they basically
you.
Brought him back to put him in jail.
Yay!
Yay! All right. Well, same thing with Digger.
Oh yeah, and you know my feelings on Digger, all right? Because I don't think it should have been Digger. It should have been Boomer. That's just me. I think that bringing Digger back.
But Boomer didn't die until that recently.
Yeah, and Hawkman and Hawkgirl didn't die until recently.
But Sean wrote so many damn letters. They just had to give him back.
No, I like his reasoning for it. At first, it was like, well, no, see, damn it, I kept sending these letters saying I want Hawkman to get a new book, but I left the man off, and that's how Hawk and Dove got in Birds of Prey.
Very funny, very funny.
Yeah, and I mean, they seem to have de-aged Digger here, too, because he was a fat blob the last time we saw him.
Well, I mean, you lose some weight, you kind of de-age, too, so...
You regain hair.
He's back in his prime. He's back in his prime.
Yeah, and Boomer's still dead, so that effing sucks. Okay.
Well, technically, he killed him himself, so it's all right.
Yeah, all right. Well, I'm still hoping that they'll at least bring up his half-brother to Bart thing. You know.
Who is?
Boomer.
Half-brother to Bart?
Yeah.
How? Bart is the grandson.
Yeah, I know that. Captain Boomerang had smexings with Bart's mother, I believe.
I want to say it was grandmother or something.
Or grandma.
I know they're related.
Yeah, I remember specifically he is his half brother. So don't ask me how, don't ask me why, but that's why they kept saying it, and they said, "Don't worry, we're gonna bring it up," and they never did. Oh well.
Well.
But yeah, as you said, Boomerang's in jail and everything, and sorry about your son. Welcome to the family business. Slapping in the face anyone who's a fan of Boomer, but whatever. And we just really go from there. And it was brought up at C2E2, and Geoff Johns is probably going to wind up writing it into a book. Why is Digger in jail? All the crimes he committed happened while he was while he was alive the last time. So technically, when he died, he played out his sentence.
Interesting.
Yeah, and you can't try somebody for the same crimes twice.
Maybe he wants to be in jail.
Maybe.
I will say this for Iron Heights. Mm-hmm. They have the biggest prisoner mattresses I have ever seen.
Yeah. What is up with that, man? I mean, do they fully, like, if he were to have a cellmate, are they going to share a bed? Are they going to snuggle?
Maybe, you know. Looks like there's plenty of room.
So when Mirror Master gets arrested next time, they're just going to have some, like, sleep parties right there. Sleep up.
Sleep party! Woohoo! I heard!
So yeah, it's a flashback that Boomerang's in jail and everything, and then we go to Carter Hall and Hawkgirl, Shiera Hall, not Kendra. What do you think on that?
Okay.
Yeah? You're all right with it?
I'm all right.
Okay.
I've never followed the Hawks, really, so it's cool. Yeah. And Hawkman's hair went from brown to black.
I noticed that.
Interestingly enough.
Well, I think his hair used to be black. In one incarnation or another. So it's
some parts here it's brown, but it mostly looks black sometimes.
Yeah, it's probably just miscolored. But yeah, they're just talking about their past lives and everything, and then some random people in the Arctic uncover their original skeletons, which used to be the power battery for the
Star Sapphires.
So it'll be interesting to see what happens with that.
Which I want to know how that came to be, because I thought that was a super cool twist.
Yeah.
Or not twist, but a little factoid, you know.
Right. Yeah. That was
really neat.
That was really cool. Yeah. Like, how did they even find out about them? Because they are technically supposed to be the avatars of love or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that's how it happened. But what winds up on his glove. And his glove, by the way, looking way too much like Lion-O's gauntlet from Thundercats.
Thundercats!
Oh! But that was like a Star Sapphire crystal, right?
It was broken off of the crystal they were trapped in, what she says.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. Okay. So, peace from the heart of Samuron. Yeah.
They go flying off.
Mm-hmm.
They found the bodies. Then we see Max Lord look like he's taking a giant shit, bleeds out his face really bad, falls into a bucket of ice.
Holy crap.
Yeah, exactly.
Man, you
he's freezing his crap. He must want to keep it.
You must get really constipated being dead.
Exactly. He had a huge one. He said, just get it out. Just, you know, ease up the flow there.
Now, he did this in order to be unknown by everybody, one would assume.
I'm assuming that's what's going on here.
Yeah, because I'm waiting on Generation Lost until it's a trade. So I'm not actually going to be picking that up. Shockingly
See,
enough,
that was the thing I was gonna take. Mm-hmm. But then they posted those preview pages like either today or yesterday. I was reading those. I was like, oh man, it looks good, but I don't know.
I need to be saving money right now. So I think
I'm going to wait. Yeah. I don't think I'm going to be with you. Not be with you, but I'm with you.
Oh, I'm touched.
I'm with you, buddy.
I'm touched that you want to be with me.
Be with you.
and his whole thing of, you know, dying and bleeding and not dying and not bleeding. And then on we go to Mars, the pyramid of Mars, and John Jones getting a new accessory for his circle, which was nice. I loved the new outfit, by the way. You know, pants. Pants really go a long way for him.
What did he have before?
Shorts. Well, the original outfit. You know, before his one where he died, where he was doing the whole, like, actual Martian head thing.
Right.
He was running around in tidy whities. Only they were blue. So, pants. I'm just going to say it again. Pants.
Pants. Oh, goodness. Yes, he was.
did you just look for an old picture of him?
I just Googled him. Lots of bulging Martian leg muscles.
Okay, he's fully convinced that with the resurrection of himself, that it's not going to be the last Martian resurrection that we're going to see. So he's going to be doing the whole multiple planet thing, being on Mars and being on Earth. I'd be okay with a Martian Manhunter. I'd be okay with a Martian Manhunter ongoing after this. What do you think?
I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. Okay. It all depends on how this goes, right?
Yes. Here, I'm going to send you this pick of Martian Manhunter.
Oh, God.
Looks really friendly.
All I want is pants. A decent pair of pants. All right. Loading. Oh, God. Yeah, for those of you who aren't seeing this, which are everybody else, he just sent me a picture of the horrible, horrible Justice League unaired pilot, where Hal Jordan looked like a cross between Guy Gardner, Kyle Rayner, and Hal Jordan. And the Atom looked like a fat man.
Fat man.
You know who played Martian Manhunter in this, right?
Who?
That dude from MASH, the guy who played the... What is it, like third good, the third or whatever?
Okay.
Yeah. He didn't look very good. Okay, and the Flash looked worse. And then on we go to Jade, who's getting a workout at the hands of Natu because, she doesn't like her very much. She used to be the girlfriend of her current boyfriend. That makes things awkward.
Awkward.
Yeah.
I thought it was weird that John still has his coffin in the pyramid.
Yeah. That is
not like it. Didn't he bust out of that really bad?
He repaired it.
He repaired it?
Yeah, he repaired it.
Why? Why would you repair it?
Well, for when he needs it the next time. It makes sense.
Yeah.
It's always good to have a spare coffin just in case you need it.
I guess so.
Yeah. All right, and here's Jenny wondering.
Maybe that's what he sleeps in.
maybe that's possible.
Maybe.
Well, I'm happy to see Kyle in a book, and it's good to see Kyle and Jade interacting again. And I'm kind of okay with them not being a couple automatically, because that wouldn't be, that really wouldn't be fair to anybody in the situation. So we'll see what happens with her. She's joining Justice League, actually, Jade.
Another book I'm thinking of dropping.
Really?
Yeah.
Not liking it too much?
I don't know. It's just not doing enough. It's not exciting.
Well, you know, Jesse Quick is joining the team also.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
Big effing deal.
So, after their heart-to-heart, Jenny and Kyle, she manifests a... What appears to be is that a white symbol or a black symbol? That she manifests.
What?
Jenny. Jade.
Jenny.
I can't tell if that's a white symbol or a black symbol.
I want to say it's a white symbol.
It's a white symbol? Okay. Because they're very similar. They're basically the reverse of each other.
Yeah, it's a white. I want to say it's a white symbol. Incorrectly drawn white. Because the triangle's smaller, I'm going to say it's a white symbol.
Okay. All right.
Because look at the cover, and then look at that.
Yes, you're right. Okay. All right. I believe you. And then onward we go to the most depressing part of the book. Jason Rush at the funeral of his salt girlfriend.
Salty.
Yeah. Well, I mean, so you're Ronnie Raymond in this situation. Do you show up at the funeral? What do you think?
Who's twisting my arm?
Professor Stein, maybe.
Professor Stein.
Because if I'm Ronnie Raymond, I don't show up to the funeral of the person that I accidentally killed while I was a Black Lantern. I mean, yeah, he's got morals and everything, but the guy who is currently Firestorm, or at least was Firestorm, is not exactly very happy right now with you. You know? Making his face known is not exactly a good situation for that right now. What do you think?
I cannot tell you.
Well, can you at least tell me that you think it's cool that that Jason and Ronnie wound up merging?
Yes, I do think that's cool.
Good.
That's a nice little twist there.
Yes, what a twist.
What a twist, a twist.
It's like M. Night Shyamalan wrote this comic. Yeah, but...
You know what? I was thinking that with an Avatar Last Airbender movie might be okay. Mm-hmm. And I was telling Mandy and Eric, I was like, he probably didn't write it, so... You know, it might be all right. And then they looked at the preview and it was like, no, he wrote it, Brent. I was like, ooh, never mind.
Well, I'm still up in the air about it, really, because it doesn't look like an M. Night Shyamalan movie from the previews, so that's probably a good thing, right?
Yeah, I guess.
I don't know. I don't expect to like it that much, but maybe I'll at least enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
We shall see. But yeah, they merge together, and the Firestorm Matrix has Jason in it, while Ronnie is the outside, which is pretty cool. And not exactly very happy to Jason, because basically he's just in his head now, yelling and screaming about how much he hates him.
Where? Which confused me, because they said, they said in there, Jason has control of the Firestorm Matrix.
Mm-hmm.
But when they turn into Firestorm, Jason is the talking head.
Right. Yeah. Well, I think even they thought that Jason had control of the Firestorm Matrix. Maybe just by Ronnie being there, it defaulted back to Ronnie. You know, after all, he was the original Firestorm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know. We'll see. And then on we go to Khandaq with Osiris taking the mummified / sculpture / statue versions of Black Adam and Isis away from there to try and get them back to normal. And I'm hoping that the accidental rumor that I came across does actually turn out to be true. I want to see that damn war of the Marvels, man. I want to see just like a full-blown war between Freddy and Black Adam and all those dudes. You know, so I want them revived. I want Black Adam back. What do you think?
Why are you so hateful?
Because, man, war is fun. Peace, not so much fun in comic books. When was the last time you read a comic book about peace?
Peace be with you and also with you.
So, in other words, you've never read a comic book about peace.
Never.
Yeah. Comic books were war comics in the first place. They're still that today.
Don't have to be so nasty.
Oh, come on, man. I'm bitter. I'm bitter from not having a job.
Bitter, 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 bitter. Okay, so Hawk. Hawkman, I mean, not Hawkman, Hawk.
The man who happens to be Hawk, not Hawkman.
Hawk.
You could call him Hank Hall or Monarch if you want.
Hank Cockall.
Hank Hall.
Hank Hall.
And how confusing is it that Hawkman is Carter Hall while Hawk is Hank Hall?
Are they related?
I don't know. I don't think they are. I think this is just an absolute coincidence.
Hmm.
Anyway, as you were saying.
No, I just said Wanda Hawk.
Oh, okay. On the Hawk. He's back. All right, moving on.
He's back. He's a badass, actually. I liked him in this little segment.
Yeah, no, it was fun. I'll give you that.
Too bad I'm not reading Birds of Prey.
Well, it's a good thing I'm reading Birds of Prey.
Too bad. Good thing you are. Yeah, definitely.
Why are you not reading Birds of Prey?
I don't know. I just can't get into it.
Well, you can't get into it. When have you tried?
It doesn't seem like it's for me.
Yep. You know. So you're just going out there and automatically assuming you're gonna dislike it.
I like Gail Simone's Wonder Woman, but Secret Six. I read the first miniseries. Mm-hmm. Didn't dig that. Trying to think of some other stuff I've read of hers that I didn't really. I mean, she's kind of hit and miss for me, so it's not something I'm gonna seek out. Put to you that way. Right. Plus, Barbara Gordon, Huntress, Lady Blackhawk. I don't have any interest in those characters at all.
All right.
So that's what it is for me.
Well, I would at least say try it in trade, or if you can pick it up from a library or something, pick it up from a library and see if you like it that way. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Fine. All right.
Anyway. Yes, Daddy.
Oh God, that sounded way wronger than you wanted it to. Sounded like George Takei right there. Hello.
Oh my.
You're my. So yeah.
I love that TV commercial. Whoa. Oh my.
we were watching the episode of Avatar: The Last Airbender with him in it, actually.
Oh yeah.
The other day, which is the same episode with the first appearance of the cabbage guy. Not my cabbages. All right, and yeah, once we're done with the whole Hawk and Dove thing, which is interesting, but not really anything that's really worth talking about too much, we get the end of the book here with a live man having the, I guess...
The Geoff Johns flash forward.
Yes, the flash forward on ABC, Thursdays at 8, of what's going to happen to these characters in the future, and it looks like... okay... don't exactly know what that top image is.
Swamp Thing?
Maybe. Or Green Goblin crossing over? I don't know. It's one of that or the other. The second image, is that Firestorm in the second image?
Yeah, it's got to be Firestorm. It looks like there's a man made of salt on his hand.
Uh-oh.
Take that as you will.
Uh-huh. We've got Aquaman in chains. We've got
enchained by Mera. Kinky.
Oh dear. We've got Maxwell Lord about to blow the head off of another Blue Beetle.
No.
Man, he's just gonna have the mantle of like five Blue Beetles on his mantle place eventually.
He's gonna have to start putting notches in his belt.
Yeah. So we've got Jenny with Alan's Green Lantern ring, which is pretty cool. Because that's not a regular Green Lantern ring. That looks like Alan Scott's ring.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. Digger having a fight with the Rogues. What else is new? Hawkman having a fight with Hawk Girl. What else is new? looks like Osiris isn't exactly having a good time carrying those statues.
He dropped them. Idiot. He's got super strength. Come on.
Oh! And Professor Zoom has got an entire Flash family.
Drawn by a Kubert brother, no less. So that's Flashpoint right there.
Yeah, that could be. It could be.
It's an entire army of Zooms on cosmic treadmills.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah, zoom, zoom, zoom.
52 Zooms.
Oh, okay, that would be messed up. But it's also possible.
Yes. And you didn't say Hank Hall kissing Dove.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and Hank Hall kissing Dove. Okay. And
okay, and then this flash forward is the exact thing that makes the giant redwood trees sprout out of Star City.
Mm-hmm.
Bring, bring, bring.
So okay. DC says that they did this to make Star City feel
unique. They just made it stupid. We have a giant star-shaped forest in the middle of our city.
It kind of looks like Starro, only green.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not sold on this. And all it does is make them New York City with a Star Central Park. You know? It's not No, I'm just
yes,
no.
Yes, but Ian, there's something in the forest. Ooh.
And what is this thing in the forest? It's the entity, isn't it?
Help, I don't know.
Help me live. And apparently, eventually, it's going to be Green Arrow.
Yes.
Yeah. And then, of course, the epilogue is a White Lantern and Sinestro finding it, saying, "Dude, that's my lantern. Awesome."
Dude, where's my car? Dude, what's mine say? Sweet. What's mine say? Dude. What's mine say? Sweet.
Sweet.
What's right. mine say? Dude. No, really. What's mine say?
Okay, this could go on for an what's hour, so I'm going to have to cut
Dude.
It off.
Dude, what's mine say?
I'm going to say the last words in an announcer voice. Once dead, 12 heroes and villains were resurrected by a white light expelled deep from within the center of the earth. Deemed a miracle by many and a sign of the apocalypse by others. The reasons behind their rebirths remain a mystery, but it will not be a mystery for long. This is the brightest day. And then cue 80s music there. So, overall, I enjoyed the happenings of this issue very, very much. In fact, it's probably the best weekly / semi-weekly I've read since 52. You likey?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
I thought it was excellent. For a first issue, I thought it was really good. It made me excited to read the next one. And I was excited. I was like, next week. And I was like, I'm going to have two issues in my box next week. Sweet. Oh, but it's only bi-weekly.
Yeah, I know. Hey, the first issue was really good, so hopefully the first issue will be good.
Was it?
No.
The first issue is in this one,
yeah.
Or the first issue is in number one.
Well, see, that's just it. When you call something a zero and then a one, you know, it's like, yeah, the first issue was really good. Wait, the zeroest issue was really good, but
no issue was really good.
Yeah, no issue was really good, but issue one was great. Yeah, this gets a top score for me. This has gotten me so jazzed for the Brightest Day event, and even Flash number one was pretty good. But that's another story for another time, I guess. But no, this was good. I give it a 5 out of 5.
Yeah, me too. 5 out of 5.
Sweet. So you're very interested in what's happening in the DC universe right now, aren't you?
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Every part.
We got Batman coming back. We got not the JSA stuff.
What about the Green Arrow
stuff? And Booster Gold. Yeah, I cut his book, and I'm going to try and do my best to stay away from Generation Lost.
Yeah.
What'd you ask about?
Green Arrow?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not as excited about him.
I picked up the first issue because it was cheap. It's not because I'm actually enjoying anything that's happening in the books, because I'm really not. But that and I already ordered Rise of Arsenal, so I can't not order it. Even though I'm like, yeah, great. So you decided to take Arsenal back to being a junkie. That's just great. And every time he puts on his fake arm, there's green pus coming out of the wound, and I gotta see that every single time. Thank you. That's very appealing to me. You know what my interests are, obviously. Watching green pus ooze from wounds. Bastards. So yeah, good times. So what else is new? Well, we've only been on for an hour and 18 minutes. We got to talk about something else.
Yeah. Can tell me about C2E2.
Oh, yes. The C2E2 convention, otherwise known as the Chicago Comics and Entertainment Expo.
C2E2.
Yeah. I mean, you got any questions for me, or you want me to just spatter?
I want to hear your. Apparently, you had some big shenanigans with Gail Simone. I want to hear about that.
Oh, yeah.
What you can tell me, because apparently there's some off the air stuff that you'll have to tell me later.
Yeah, actually.
But, you know, how this come about, I know Sean and Jim are friends with him, but you're basically, the way you made it sound to me, like you're sitting at a table alone with her, or at least you and Chris and stuff like that. So, what's going on?
Well, okay. So she had a meetup for the You'll All Be Sorry forum at Geno's East in Chicago after Friday night of the con. So it was me, my girlfriend Chris, Chris Marshall from Collect the Comics Library. Yes, they are two different people. Sean and Jim, Gail, her husband, and a couple of random people from the forum that you know, I got to know a little bit there. I mean, it's hard to know people at a dinner when you show up a little bit late and then you're stuck at the other side of the table away from people you actually know, but whatever. So yeah, we have our pizza and everything goes, you know, nice and everything. And then afterwards, Sean, Jim, Gail, and her husband are going to Second City. And, you know, they ask everybody if they want to go, and nobody else says yes except for me and Chris. So for the rest of the night, it was literally Gail, her husband, me, Chris, Sean, and Jim at Second City just hanging out. Which is really fun, I must say. I mean, you know, getting to know a creator a little bit more just makes everything happy, really. So this is really the first time I've really had that opportunity outside of, you know, people I already knew, like, you know, Jamal Igo or Mike Norton or anybody. So, yeah, no, we had a lot of fun. And now I know why people outside of New York don't always get Daily Show humor, because now that I've been to Second City and it was all Chicago humor, I understand.
Gotcha.
Yeah. But no, it was good times, man. It was fun.
Cool.
Gail's husband is a hoot.
A hoot.
Yeah. And plenty of hoot. Plenty of deep dish pizza to be eaten. And
so what would you compare this? Can you compare this to New York?
Yes, I can.
Being there from the same exhibitor.
Yeah, I
same type of feel.
Right.
Go ahead.
I can definitely compare it to New York. Yes. In fact. Well, and I mean, you know, this does make a little bit of sense because it's not like it's that far apart or anything. A lot of the vendors from New York were at C2E2.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why it was similar. The layout was very similar. You had, you know, vendors and big booths in the front of the con. And then you had the artist alley and the gaming area and the comic and the podcast arena was off to the side.
They had a podcast arena? I didn't ever heard about that.
Yeah, they had a podcast arena. It was a little bit under the table. You know, not too many people were really a part of it. It was just Comic Geek Speak, 11:00/Around Comics,
mm-hmm.
Raging Bullets, and iFanboy, I believe, were part of it. There might have been one other, but I wasn't really paying attention because I didn't know them. Yeah, it was just really just them. And, you know, they had a table, and Sean was having you know, interviews all weekend long. So was Jim, and same thing with Around Comics and /11:00 Comics, and still Around Comics doesn't exist anymore. And yeah, that was basically the layout. So it was comparable. However, best part of the con, a lot more aisle space. Like, significantly more aisle space. So I didn't feel like I was cramped the entire weekend, which was really nice.
Cool.
Yeah. My only problem with it was a little bit too big. Because, like where they had the panel rooms, like, every single panel felt like it was empty because none of them were ever full.
Mm.
You know, like these were, like, ballroom-sized panel rooms for DC and Marvel. And they were never anywhere close to full the entire weekend. So it was a little deceptive. Well, yeah, you know, overall, it was good times, and didn't actually wind up getting any sketches other than the Steve Bryant Starman that I was going to get at Super Show that I wound up getting in C2E2 instead. And, yeah, just spent the whole weekend wandering around. And, oh, actually, on Saturday night, I went to the Neil Gaiman event, which was very nice.
Yeah, I heard about that from Sean and Jim, I think.
Yeah. It was the Comic Book Legal Defense Fund. It was a fundraiser for the Comic Book Legal Defense Fund, and it was the first A Night With that Neil Gaiman has done in over 10 years. And, yeah, it was basically just him reading a bunch of passages from poems that he did and stories that he did, some new stuff, some old stuff, and then he took questions at the end. And the funniest moment was when one of the questions was, when are you going to write an episode of Doctor Who? And then he basically just goes to the microphone and says, I think people in the audience know something that you don't. because it was announced like 6 months ago that Neil Gaiman was writing an episode of Doctor Who for next season.
Maybe that guy just got out of prison. Come on. Give the man a break.
Maybe.
He's like Captain America. Cut him some slack.
Yeah, it was Chicago after all, so you never know. Oh. Yeah, there used to be gangsters there. Not so much anymore.
Aye, cop in.
Yeah. No, it was good. And Chicago, I swear, it is the bizarro version of New York. You know, like everything that's down in New York, like everything that's a subway in New York is elevated in Chicago. The American League ballpark is more popular in New York. The National League ballpark is more popular in Chicago. We don't put weird shit on our hot dogs. They put weird shit on their hot dogs in Chicago. You know, although it's good, it's just, you know, our hot dogs are very clean. They're just hot dogs with mustard, and that's it. You know. They put everything on their hot dogs.
For shame on them.
I know. But, yeah, it was good times. You know, cool. Plenty of hanging out.
Yep. Awesome.
Yep.
Well, I think we can wrap it up, dude.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, you think?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, all right. We're going to be announcing, if not on the episode previous to this, then on this next episode that's after this, a new sponsor for the show. We're not going to say who it is yet, but it's someone you all know and possibly love. And we'll let you guys know on the next episode. How about that?
Brent's Wallet.
That's right. Today's sponsor is Brent's Wallet. If you
go to www.paypal.com to make a contribution. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. If you want
20% goes to Ian's wallet. So.
Oh, only 20%. That's the cut. That's great.
I just came up with this. Come on.
Who pays for the website? All right. Yeah, that's great, man. Thanks a lot.
Glad. Well, we'll start out with 20 the first month, and then, you know, we'll see how it goes from there.
And if you use the promo code, give Brent money. Give him money. Seriously, just give him money. There is no promo code. Just give him money.
Because Ian wants 20%.
And if you want to send Ian money, you can do so at scarymonkeyshow@gmail.com on PayPal. That's right. scarymonkeyshow@gmail.com on PayPal. Seriously, you don't have to send me money, but if you do, I'll be happy.
You can get $1 at a time.
Yeah, right. Oh, dude, I forgot to mention. So two weird shits wound up happening to me at C2E2. Okay. I didn't go to the bathroom weird. That's not what happened. DC was having this event all weekend long where you could, if you texted them, like WEDC2E2 or whatever it was, you could be entered in the contest to win a copy of the collected Wednesday comics.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah. Before it comes out in stores. So mm-hmm. I texted it. I gave it a shot, and then I signed up for their text newsletter also, so that they could just, you know, shoot me, you know, like when new things get posted to the source, I'll immediately know, which is cool. So I have an unlimited plan anyway; it doesn't matter. So day's ending on Friday, and I get a text message from DC Comics. Congratulations, you have won a copy of Wednesday Comics. Please claim it at the DC booth. So. It's literally 5 minutes before closing, so I run to the DC booth. Like I swear, I looked like the Flash in the crappy Justice League pilot. You know, a fat, out of shape man running. It was great.
Yeah, I've seen you.
Yeah, great, thanks. I run over to the booth and there's like 10 other people standing there, which is a little confusing. Because they were only giving away one copy of Wednesday Comics. So I didn't know what was going on. It was a little weird. You still there? Dude.
Oh, had my microphone on mute. Excuse me.
Okay. All right. Just checking. So, there's like 10 other people standing there all waiting for it, and nobody knows what's going on because not even the people at the booth understand what's going on because, yeah, they have one copy and there's 10 people standing there with, you have one Wednesday Comics. You have one Wednesday Comics. So it turned out that everybody who texted the code and signed up for the newsletter accidentally got texted, you have won a free copy of Wednesday Comics. So what should have been one got texted out to like 25 people. Maybe even more than that. So that was a bit of an issue. So instead, they wound up giving me a free copy of Blackest Night number 8, the director's cut, in you know, as sort of a consolation prize.
You mean number one?
No, number 8. Blackest Night number 8.
With the script and all that in the back? And the sketches?
No, I'm sorry. I said director's cut, and I meant to say dealer's incentive. My mistake. The one with Doug Monkey. It's like the Hal Jordan reaching out, and everybody else's hands are on it. That cover of Blackest Night 8?
I didn't see that one.
Yeah, it's a retail incentive that only 1,000 of them made or something like that, and we wound up getting them instead. And the one person who actually won was contacted because they had his phone number. So that got straightened out. And so, remember at San Diego Comic-Con where I tried my best to get you figures of those Hal mm-hmm. Jordans, and it failed miserably.
Right.
Well, this time, the system was a little bit different to get Hal Jordan and Sinestro. Blackest Night Hal Jordan and a Brightest Day Sinestro.
Right, which if they put out normally, everyone would love, but no, let's be stupid.
Mm-hmm. There were 1,500 of them made. And they were giving them out at WonderCon, and now they're giving them away at C2E2. Not giving away, you had to pay money for it. And there was a ticket system this time, like last time, only this time you'd line up online and you'd pull a ticket out. If you got the red ticket, you could go and get your wristband to get the two. And if you got a blue ticket, you could just go back online and try again. So I wound up getting a red ticket, and so did Chris. So we wound up with 8... figures, four sets of the Sinestro. Whoa. and Hal Jordan. Yeah, so I'm keeping one for myself. Gave one to Raph because I felt that I didn't get him anything at any other ones, and I figured since he couldn't make it to C2E2 when he wanted to, this would be his consolation prize. And the other two, I gotta go to my my cousin Bay, first initial E. Because they go for a lot on there.
Uh huh.
They're gonna pay for the.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
I see how it is.
Oh.
Big cock tease. Oh yeah, I'm gonna. I remember those things that I was trying to get you. Yeah. Well, I got something kind of like that. But nah. Forget you.
Just gonna
give it to the guy who ruins my CGS show.
Yeah, but I see him on a regular basis.
Well, I talk to you on a regular basis.
I know. Well, all right, you know what? We'll see. Maybe.
No.
Well, you see.
No.
Part of me
no longer matters to me.
Well, oh, really?
You've already proven to me that you don't think about me.
Oh, are you kidding me? Well, part of me was thinking I'd give it to you as a wedding present, but I don't think Mandy would be too happy about that.
No, she would not.
Like,
oh, great, more.
Yeah, I know. It's like, hey, congratulations. Here.
What am I going to do with these?
So consider me not giving them to you, a present to Mandy.
Yes, I'll consider.
Dude, I might still wind up with two of them in my hand when I come. We'll see. But yeah, that was the deal, and that was the fun times in Chi-Town. So yeah, next episode will be Iron Man 2 and Kick-Ass. Yes.
Yes.
All right.
Kick-Ass.
Sweet. And probably wind up with a guest on that one, Mr. Alec of Teenage Wasteland and the movie podcast that he does that I can't think of at the moment.
Teenage Wasteland.
It's a Teenage Wasteland. Got anything to pimp?
No, sir.
Nah? No more BK's bullets coming?
No. Aww. Not in a while. Actually, my back issue reading's gone down, so.
Oh, really?
Sorry.
Oh, that sucks. You know, I mean, come on, man. You can record these in a car now that you have a Zoom H2.
I know. But that would just be distracting.
No, it wouldn't. Okay, maybe.
Well, how do you hold it?
No, you don't even hold it. You can just put it next to you in the car. You could just look up straight ahead and record. That's how Derek Coward does it.
In the car.
Yeah. Seriously. You don't even have to be sit. You don't even have to be where you usually are.
In the car.
In the car.
In the car.
I'm just saying. All right. What was that? Sound like a lightsaber in the background.
That's my phone. Okay. Intro us out. Extra.
Okay.
One more time here. This episode of Comic Timing is sponsored by DCBS, Discount Comic Book Service, over at dcbservice.com. Use that promo code CT8 to get an additional 8% off on your first order with DCBS, and you will get more discounts than you can possibly throw into a hat. That's not really a saying, but it officially is now, whether you like it or not. X-Men number 1, 75% off for 99 cents this month. True Blood number 1, 50% off for $1.99. And 40% off on J. Michael Straczynski's first issue of Superman, Superman 701. That's only $1.79. Those are our review corner picks for the month. Make sure to pick them up. You'll be able to read along with us when we do our reviews the month that they all come out. And along with that, you got great discounts on Dr. Solar this month, 75% off for 87 cents. Chew, the Omnivore Edition. If you're like me and not like Brent and enjoy Chew, then you will get it for 50% off at $17.49. This collects the first couple of arcs of Chew right there. Volume 1 hardcover, pretty damn awesome. We got American Vampire Volume 1, the hardcover, for $12.49, 50% off, and plenty more deals to be found at DCBS. So enjoy them all, and make sure to use the site CT8, 8% off on your first order. Discount Comic Book Service, best damn company out there, period. By far. I'm telling you that. Might have told you things other before. I'm telling you that now. Believe me, and you will go far. Discount Comic Book Service. I'm done talking now.
All right, well, the email address for Comic Timing is comictiming@gmail.com. Don't forget to check out the forums over at comicforums.com. Graciously hosted by the Comic Geek Speak guys over at comicgeekspeak.com. We are proud members of the Comics Podcast Network over at comicspodcast.com and the League of Comic Book Podcasts over at comicbooknoise.com/league. Please send us your iTunes reviews, and I'm not going to bother saying podcast now anymore. So, Mr. Cassina, thank you. And he's probably talking on the phone right now, so I'm just going to say thank you for him. Thank you. You're very, very welcome. Okay, great. And as always, there's always time for comic books and possibly comics.
Had to tell it. This is a microphone that's plugged in here. So I was doing that at the same time as the Skype was doing it, and I think they got their wires crossed.
Okay.
Said restart my computer a couple times, but I did that. I did that on my sound card first, and then opened up Skype, did that on there, and said take the line in as a microphone.
Right.
So it should be okay.
All right. Cool.
So that's what we're using now. So
yeah. Well, you sound clear as day now, as opposed to sounding like you're wading through water. So that's probably that's probably a good thing.
Probably a good thing. Maybe just a little bit. Okay.
Yeah. Well, it feels good to be back in my old setup, to be completely honest, because I recorded with Sean and Jim on Sunday night.
Actually, about what?
Actually, not Sunday night, Sunday afternoon. About C2E2, about the some of the panels that took place at C2E2, because they didn't get a chance to record with me while I was there. Technically, mm-hmm. they did, though, because they recorded for this show. We just didn't actually do any sit-down shit.
Mm-hmm.
And we did that for, like, fucking 4 hours on Sunday.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Luckily, it's their show, not mine.
I just listened to their C2E2 show, their first one, and I was like, Jesus.
Dude, we took 2 hours to talk about a 1 hour panel.
Wow.
It was
guys are insane.
Oh, yeah. We're out of our fucking minds, but you knew that already.
I knew that already.
Yes, you did.
I knew that already.
All right, then. And we're yet again proving that there's something wrong with us just by talking on this phone. So how's your tasting?
It was good. It was tasty.
Haha.
Taste.
I see what you did there.
So I made it funny.
What you gonna be serving at this shit, Nick?
Not what we tasted.
Nice.
For real?
You plugged into an Ethernet, or are you on Wi-Fi?
I am on Wi-Fi.
Okay. Yeah, because you're doing the occasional skip out, zip out thing, but that should be okay, I guess.
Really?
What's your call quality right now on Skype?
4 bars that are green.
Okay. Yeah, because mine keeps going from.
Everything's good.
Yeah, mine keeps going from 3 to 6.
Yeah, mine went from 3 to 4 just now. Now it's on 3. It says my internet connection is low in video, but I'm not on video.
Well, then obviously your video is low.
I just opened up a bunch of tabs in Chrome, so that might be it.
That could be it, maybe just a bit. But yeah, just, you know, been settling back in and still waiting on shit. So I talked to Alec about doing the wrap up, and I think he said he's free Sunday. Are you free Sunday?
What's the wrap up?
Iron Man 2 and Kick-Ass.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
What time?
I still need to find that out. He said 9:30, but I think that's for during the week. So, I mean, we could do it during the week if necessary, because he said that he gets off at 9:30 from work, so we could probably just do, like, a 10 o'clock recording and have it still work out. But, because, you know, I mean, I usually prefer doing it during the week, because I never really know what my weekend plans are until the weekend.
Yeah.
But I guess we'll see what the deal is there. But, yeah, it's tentative for Sunday, and if not, then it will be during the week. But Tuesday would be good for you next week?
As far as I know right now, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, even though it's the Lost finale or whatever?
No, that's the 23rd.
Oh, it's 23rd? Okay, so what's next? How many episodes are left at this point? Just 3.
What's today? The 11th?
23rd. Okay, so I guess that's... Well, 25th, because today's the 11th, yeah.
Right. The 20th, and then the... Oh, I don't know. If it's the 25th, is it?
Yeah, 25th, not the
20th. I think it is, yeah. So, whatever tonight's was, I didn't watch it, but...
I didn't watch it either. So, all right. So, okay. The 4-3, and then the 2-hour finale, or 2.5-hour finale.
2.5, motherfucker.
Yeah, because they couldn't possibly fit it all into 2 hours.
Couldn't possibly.
You know, like, once Lost is all said and done, nobody is going to be talking about the show at all. I have this feeling that it's just going to disappear into the ether, and people are just going to try and forget about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's too fucking complicated, man. And I watch Fringe, and I'm saying that.
I don't watch Fringe.
It's a good show. It's pretty good. You know, it's got a lot of the same things Lost has going for. You know, the whole alternate reality thing, and I have no idea what's happening thing, you know.
Mm.
It's a J.J. Abrams.
Interesting.
J.J. Abrams, he does that well. Alright, so, Brightest Day number 0, Sif number 1, and Last Stand of New Krypton number 1. Alright, what is the episode number? I always get that wrong, and I'd rather not get it wrong this time. Let's All right, so 107. Because hopefully I will have 106 out by the end of the week. I'm still working on it. You know, it's the usual having to actually edit shit together thing that I gotta get done, that I gotta get going. But should hopefully be out
just,
by end.
Just turn off the Netflix. Just turn off the Netflix.
Yeah, but I keep getting distracted, man. It's too much fun. There's tutors there.
Yeah, I tried to watch the first episode. I couldn't get into it.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
Too slow for you?
Yeah, I guess. But I watched Rome. But me and Mandy could not get into it.
I don't know. It picks up a little bit once, like, halfway through the first season, and then the second season is just all, like, insane. You know, because that's the whole and part.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well. All right. I got him here and all that, and... Count it down. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Welcome to episode 107 of Comic Timing, a comics podcast devoted to the average comic book fan from the average comic book fan. Damn it. It's been a while. Motherfucker. All right. Bye.
That's going in the back.
Yeah. Damn, I sound like I have, like, Tourette's or something.
You sound a whole lot better than your CGS episode. Oh, my God.
Oh, my Lord, man.
You know what? Actually, I think I'm, like, only, like, 20 minutes into that. Like, now, I'm so afraid of finishing it because I know Raph is on it, and he's just so...
abrasive.
God. Yeah.
He's actually not that bad for the rest of the episode. The first 20 minutes were actually the most painful part.
Yeah.
Once you get past that, there's good interviews in it. So, you know, when you...
Oh, I know that.
Yeah, you know, I mean, hey, come on. I was sounding like Darth Vader, and I still managed to get interviews.
Yeah, you did a very good job, from what I've heard so far.
Thank you. Thank you very much. My ego has been stroked, and you did a very good job with the MegaCon interviews, by the way.
Thank you. I really wish that Joker one would have came out, but oh well.
Yeah,
my happens. Buddy.
It happens.
But it's cool you put on the... or you yeah, you left on the... Yeah, this is... That works. Dude, we gotta press this button.
That was hilarious, man.
I uploaded those specifically so you would find them and go, haha, that's funny.
Yeah, that right away, right after I heard them, I'm like, okay, great, I have back material, fantastic.
All right.
I've got some random Julian Lytle shit in the back of the CGS episode.
Cool.
All right.
All right, I'm back. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. Sounded good.
Yes. Actually, the entire episode sounded good. You didn't really have too much fading in and out like I thought you were going to.
Awesome.
Sweet. And I said once you cut out the pauses and awkwardness, it'll be about an hour and 20.
Pauses and awkwardness? What?
Yeah.
What you talking about? What you talking about?
What you talking about, Wheaties?
What you talking about?
Where's the paperboy?
Where's the paperboy? Sex machine?
Oh, God. Oh. You always manage to take it one step too far, man.
Sorry.
It's okay. So, yeah, if you really want those two figures, I can give them.
Mail them.
Yeah. Actually, first I'll see how much I can sell the first two for it.
Okay. Pause it there.
Yeah, because really, if they go for more than like 140, then it's nice knowing you, buddy.
Yeah, understood.
Yeah.
Aye, Captain. Well, you should sell Raph's set. You don't need any more stuff.
I already gave it to him.
This room's full.
Oh. It was also partially because it was like a joint idea between me and Chris. I mean, really, he was really depressed for not being able to make it to C2E2.
Yeah.
Because he wanted to go, but since he's absolutely broke, it couldn't really happen.
I thought he was working.
Dude, he makes no money at Midtown. Seriously, I mean.
How does he?
He lives with his mom in a really, really small room. And he winds up having to support her, too.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, so he has, like, fucking nothing right now. You know, he's hoping that in the next couple of years, he'll you know, actually have a good job and something that pays and something that doesn't make them haul boxes back and forth every Tuesday.
Like what, though?
Something that's not that. You think I know what his career? Well, he wants to be a creator one of these days, man. You know, he wants to be that, but he'll have to have a real job or else he'll never make any money.
Yeah. Interesting. Yep. Okay.
Yep. And I forgot to mention, I had a very, very long and happy conversation with Adam and Comfort on the last day of C2E2. We wound up eating dinner together, like, from, like, 6 p.m. until, like, 10.
Wow.
Yeah. We were literally just, like, camped out in the lobby of the Hyatt, ordered some sandwiches, and just bullshitted with them, Brian, what's his name? Vice Templar. Mm-hmm. Can't think of his last name all of a sudden, but it was him and two other people. One a creator, one not. And it was fun.
Cool.
Yep. I do. You sound tired.